You're listening to the Witch in the Woods podcast, mini episode scary story, The Ghost in Greg.
It was after midnight by the time Deirdre was finally able to let her mind turn to her own grief. She had been busy looking after everyone else all day, and hadn't had a spare moment to let the impact of her beloved mistress's death sink in. She had worked for Lady Walsh for over a decade, and while the family had known her death was on the horizon, it had hit all of them especially hard. Lady Walsh was well known for her generosity, a trait that Deirdre herself had experienced firsthand more than once. The whole town was in mourning, and the house had been full of visitors paying their respects since dawn. Deirdre sat wearily in a chair in front of the fire, letting her eyes slip closed as she sank into the soft cushions. She found herself drifting to sleep, and was promising herself she'd only rest for a moment when she felt something hit her foot.
Ugh, dog, why did you—
She had assumed that the family collie had tripped over her foot while passing, but when she sat up to chastise him, she saw nothing there. She thought maybe she had imagined it, or had already been dreaming, but her foot still throbbed. She felt a chill go down her spine, despite the warm fire, and her teeth began to chatter.
Who's that? Is someone there?
It is I.
Suddenly, the ghost spirit of Lady Walsh appeared before Deirdre. She was just as beautiful in death as she had been in life, and Deirdre was immediately comforted to see her face.
Oh, my darling mistress. What is disturbing you that you come to me? Can I do anything for you?
I am in great distress and cannot rest. You need not do what you have done and continue to do in my memory.
Mistress, I'm confused. What do you mean?
Every day and every hour, someone in my family or of my friends are lamenting, speaking of my goodness, and it is causing me great torment in the other world.
Why would that cause you torment, my lady?
Because I was selfish in my actions. All of my charities were only done for the pleasure of having myself well spoken of, and not because of a good heart.
That can't possibly be true, my lady.
It is. The only real good I ever did was to give half a crown to a poor scholar studying to be a priest and promising him to secrecy. That act, done without fanfare, was the only one that has fostered me any goodwill on the other side. The others I only did to advance my status, to have others think that I was a good person, though they left me empty inside.
Oh, mistress, it matters not why you were so generous. An evil person wouldn't have given to charity at all.
But it does matter what is in your heart, and mine is empty. Every false statement spoken after my death is keeping me here, tortured in between worlds, and I cannot pass on until people know the truth. Help me!
With these final words, Lady Walsh faded away, and Deirdre felt the warmth return to the room. She was reeling from her ghostly visit as she settled into bed, but the morning also brought doubts to Deirdre's mind about her encounter. As she went about her morning chores, she convinced herself that it must have been a dream. She dropped into bed that night exhausted and had quite forgotten the visit from the night before. She awoke to her bed shaking and Lady Walsh glaring at her.
My lady, am I dreaming again?
You are quite awake. just as you were last night.
So it wasn't a dream?
No! And why haven't you done what I've asked of you?
I thought it was a dream.
I will show you that it wasn't.
With that, Lady Walsh pulled back the sheet and exposed Deirdre's foot, where a dark bruise had appeared from where she had been struck the night before. Deirdre gasped.
Look upon your foot in the morning as proof that this is not a dream, and do what I have asked of you.
Oh, my lady, I cannot sully your good name.
You must find a way, or I will visit you every night, and the next visits won't be as pleasant.
Deirdre watched as Lady Walsh's face, once so charming and inviting, twisted into a wretched mask of evil. Her eyes went dark, the lines of her face etched so deep that they began to bleed, and her mouth twisted into a gaping black hole that let out a groan with each labored breath.
This is how I am in this world. Every kind word spoken of me changes me further. You must stop this torture and allow me to move on.
Deirdre was so scared, she was afraid she might faint. But she managed to whisper.
I'll try. Anything for you, my lady.
With that, Lady Walsh faded away again. But this time, Deirdre swore she could hear her whimpering. Deirdre lay awake the rest of the night, too scared to close her eyes. She kept checking her foot for the bruise, and as soon as it was light, she quickly dressed and burst into Lord Walsh's room where he was drinking his morning tea.
Lord Walsh, I have a message from Lady Walsh, and you must listen.
Deirdre told Lord Walsh all about her nightly visits, and begged him to comply with his late wife's wishes. She showed him the bruise on her foot as proof, and when she was done, she was breathing heavy and sweating. Lord Walsh looked at her for a few moments in silence, and then he invited Deirdre to have a cup of tea with him.
Sir? That's not—
Come. I know it's most unorthodox, but I believe you need it.
Deirdre sat down, feeling very out of place as Lord Walsh served her tea.
Now then, I know you are very fond of your mistress.
I was, sir, very much.
And you've been taking care of all of us so well since her passing.
Thank you, sir.
So it's understandable why you might suffer from hallucinations. You're exhausted.
No, the bruise.
There are many reasons why your foot could be bruised. I myself witnessed you drop a log on that very foot last week when making the fire.
Well, yes, but—
I want you to get some rest today, Deirdre. The others can handle your work. Take to your bed and do not leave it.
Oh, but Lady Walsh—
I will say this only once, Deirdre. We all see you as part of our family, and you will always have a place here. But I do not appreciate the words you have spoken about my wife today. No matter your state, they have been inexcusable. Lady Walsh was a kind and generous woman, and I'll have no one slandering her name. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do, but—
Let's consider this matter settled, yes? Now, off to bed with you.
Deirdre wanted to say more, to try and convince Lord Walsh of the truth, but she also knew that when his mind was made up, he rarely changed it. She dreaded every step back to her quarters, sure that Lady Walsh was waiting for her. She was pleased to find her room empty and collapsed into her bed, the events of the last 2 days leaving her too weary to even remove her shoes. It was night when she awoke again, her teeth chattering as she reached for her blankets.
Why do you continue to disobey me? Do you not believe that I suffer?
Lady Walsh appeared again, and this time, she no longer had any resemblance to the woman that Deirdre had known and loved. She hunched over in pain, her hair stringy and hanging over her tortured face.
Oh, my lady, I tried. I told Lord Walsh everything, but he didn't believe me. No! He chastised me for my dark words against you and said that I must never speak of it again.
I cannot continue to exist in this way. I am being twisted into nothing.
What do I do, my lady?
You must find my diary. It contains my true thoughts.
You kept a diary?
Yes. It is hidden away under my mattress, and it will reveal everything.
I'll find it.
Do it quickly. You must help me.
Lady Walsh disappeared in an echo of wails this time, and every hair on Deirdre's body stood on end as she watched her mistress fade into the shadows. She quickly ran down the stairs and crept into the master bedroom, taking care not to wake Lord Walsh as she crawled beside the bed. She slid her hand under the mattress and felt a small book. Grasping it quickly, she slipped silently out of the room and back to her own quarters where she eagerly began to read. She soon discovered that every word her lady had spoken was true. The diary revealed that every act of charity was tainted with deceit, as Lady Walsh had truly only been generous so that she would be known as generous. She had no interest in helping others, but saw it as a way to help herself. As she finished the last entry, one that cemented Lady Walsh had no change of heart even as she faced her death, Deirdre made a decision. It hurt her to think of her mistress in pain, but revealing this truth, these awful words, would only hurt those that Lady Walsh had left behind. Deirdre was sure that Lord Walsh may even die of shock himself. And then what of the rest of the family? Deirdre decided that she could not obey her lady's last order, no matter how much it pained her. She also couldn't stand the thought of enduring another ghostly visit. So instead, she packed up her things and ran away, chucking the diary in the river so that she couldn't change her mind. Deirdre took one last look at the house before it faded from view, sure that she could hear the ghost of her mistress bellowing in rage at her actions. Deirdre didn't want to cause anyone pain, but after reading the diary and those wretched words, she was sure of one thing. Lady Walsh deserved it.
Thank you for listening to the Witch in the Woods podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and follow us on social media at The Witch in the Woods Pod.
The Witch in the Woods podcast is a Zombie Burrito production and was created, written, and executive produced by Becky McLaughlin.
The Ghost in Greg was directed and audio designed by Becky McLaughlin and features the voice talents of Haley Botsinger as Deirdre, Sarah Thompson as Lady Walsh, and Becky McLaughlin as Lord Walsh. Caitlin Stafford is the voice of Grimalkin, who was the narrator for this story.
Thank you for listening, and a huge thank you to our Patreon subscribers, Billy and Lynn Hill, Rob Taylor, Sarah Bowers, Kristen Machado, and Amanda Wills. We are so grateful for your support. Until next time.